Hey, kids!
Hello, Internet Land!
Good evening, everyone.
Oh, I wish you would get some bigger headphones, because I'm cramped in here.
Now everybody shuts up.
I was waiting for you to introduce our special guest,
yes.
Forepatch,
yes.
Who just happened to be wrong, but that's okay.
That's all right.
I was waiting for the swelling music to come in and open all this.
You know,
that comes later.
Actually, we haven't introduced everyone in a while. I guess it's because we're always the same, but it's Brita and
yes.
Jay
yes.
and Weird and a special guest tonight, Borpatch.
Hi, I'm the one who's always wrong.
You might know him on the internet.
He's wicked smart, and he's usually right, but not tonight.
What's hilarious, Jay, is that he's saying I'm always wrong, which totally means that you're wrong. That's like the ultimate line in like self-defense de-escalation. You say, curse yeah, you. Sure, I'm a pussy. Yeah, yeah, sure, I'm a homo. Whatever you want to call me, man, that's perfectly fine. I just want to go home because it's one of those, you know what, I really don't feel like shooting you today. So you know what, you can win.
If I shoot you, I'm gonna have to clean my carry gun, damn it.
This is the line that kills V'ger.
Okay, we now know who the Trek geek is.
So Borpatch spoke a killing word.
I just like the bald-headed chick. She was hot.
I actually just watched the Mr. Plinkett review for that the other day while it was stuck to my sheets.
What?
I'm on the wrong show.
I'm on the wrong show. I don't want to know.
No.
I just
developed a nasty fever, and I was just pretty much just laying in bed. I'd get up and eat and say, maybe I'll go and do something, and I'm like,
he picked something at the con.
Alan, yep. I think you need to do a greatest hits of squirrel report and something about weird greatest hits in bed or something like that. I think that we just heard it, right?
Yeah.
Something you got the recording going.
Hey, that wasn't my greatest hits, let me tell you.
Now that his greatest hit went clear across the room.
Sometimes.
Hello.
Hi-o!
Greatest Hits of Squirrel Report. How many episodes have we had?
This is the 15th one.
Wow. I don't think we can do Greatest Hits yet.
Sure we can.
Oh, all right. Sure.
Wait, the way it used to run was you'd put out an album, then you do a second album, then you do a Greatest Hits.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then a fourth, then a fifth, and then there'd be a compilation.
And your Greatest Hits might have a couple of live tracks on it.
Oh, yes. Oh, very good point.
All right, this is moment of truth time because we have great bloggers who are on here.
Where?
How many posts did each of you do before you started a greatest hits tag?
I have never had a greatest hits anything.
Yeah, I don't have either.
One of those. I don't like excessive tags.
Yeah.
I do.
I like excessive tags, but I don't have a greatest hits one.
Maybe this should be a conversation for Jay.
I don't. I have a few favorites. The post I did for about TGIC before he went bug nuts fucking crazy.
I think the whole purpose of TGIC is that he was bug nuts fucking crazy, and I'm fine with that. He's allowed to be bug nuts fucking
exactly,
crazy.
Exactly. And the situational awareness post, my one and only Insta-lanch.
All right, you guys all win. I've got like 220 of them.
Wow. Ooh, wow. I'm going to start calling you Obama Jr.
There you go. Let me be clear.
I'm sorry. That was
Let me be clear is code for I'm about to tell a big whopping lie.
They're all great posts.
Borpatch is the home of just like I do occasionally see people dropping when some anti starts babbling about gun deaths. I suddenly see my gun death tag get dropped off. They're like going, oh, so none of these count, you sick, heartless motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Same thing goes with that when people start talking about carbon credits and things like that. I suddenly Borpatch suddenly sees his archives starting to get scrubbed by a URL in Massachusetts.
Scrub away.
Yeah. Let me just dig up all of these and just drop them in one big cluster bomb.
Yeah. That's all you need.
Scrub on, Garth.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get things
play the music.
Here.
Cue the music.
This is awesome.
It's time for the Squirrel Report.
Like I need a necktie.
Thursday, June 28th, 2012. I love it. Actually, it's tonight. It's by special request of Mad Saint Jack. It's Vicious Squirrel.
Yeah, I think after the royal ass reaming we took today, we're allowed.
Well, everybody knows what happened today, and if you don't just stop listening, because
you know. Go away, go watch Jersey Shore and have fun.
Yeah, obviously the Supreme Court announced their decision on the Obamacare, and I initially was like, what?
Yeah. Huh? That was my initial.
I was kind of in shock.
Initial reaction. It's like, what? What just happened? What?
You know, because you'd heard that Roberts was going to write the majority opinion.
Yes.
And you figure, oh well, you know, Roberts is doing it. You know, clearly we know which way this is going. Mm. And then boom, and you know, I spent a couple hours this morning just kind of like, I don't fucking believe it. How could this happen? How is it that Kennedy is the one that didn't flip?
Yeah. Well, you know what? The thing that got me was the whole tax thing. I never saw that coming.
Yeah, that was completely out of the blue.
Yeah. It was really out of the blue.
It was out of the blue, but looking back on it, it totally fits in. Because
it does.
What's Social Security? It's a tax.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think
Medicare. Tax.
You know, hours later, now I'm kind of feeling like Roberts is a genius.
Yeah, no, he's not.
That's kind of where I wound up too.
He fucked us, plain and simple. Okay, Social Security tax, still paying it. This is our healthcare tax. We're going to be paying it. Our kids are going to be paying it. It's not going away. Congress is never going to get rid of a tax ever.
Well. Right? The way it's structured right now, it's only a tax if you don't have insurance.
Yeah, now.
Right.
When they run all the insurance companies out of business and it goes to single payer, which is their goal.
Right.
What's going to happen? Oh, we're going to have to raise the first. It's going to be we're going to make it. Everybody's going to pay their fair share of the health insurance tax.
And, well, fuck that. It's not going to get that far, Jay. It's going to be pretty soon all the doctors are going to start quitting because it's one of those. My mom's in nursing, and so therefore we've got a lot of friends who are various doctors, and a lot of them are retired. I know a ton of retired doctors, and every single one of them retired once the bullshit started. I didn't know a single one that retired for health reasons or old age reasons or retired because they wanted to retire. They retired because they were getting older. And suddenly they were finding themselves haggling with paperwork and insurance claims and all that far more than they were saving people's lives, which is what they got into it in the first place. And they just said, fuck this noise. I'll let the young guys take care of it. And pretty soon the young guys aren't going to, you know, I mean, nowadays we hear about all these people like, I mean, you know, I went to school for biology, so I saw a ton of, you know, people that were like, oh, yeah, I'm in all these biology classes because I'm pre-med. And I'm like looking at him going, yeah, you're not going to make it. You know, and none of them did. None of them did. They all ended up being either nursing students or dropping out or figuring out something else. But they had this lofty idea of pre-med.
They went into sales.
Yeah, they went into sales. They went into sales, Jay. Did you start off with pre-med?
I did.
Oh, really?
Well done.
I did.
Jay, you were –
What class
well,
was
actually,
it that
no,
drove you out of pre-med?
Well, it wasn't any class, actually. It was a good friend of the family's is the he's the dean of a small local community college. And he arranged some time for me to talk to med students, which was an absolutely fantastic idea. And I talked to like three or four different med students and realized that this is something that you don't do it half-assed. You go to medical school. It is all you do. And
for the rest of your life.
That story,
yeah.
That reminds me of a story from when we lived up in Massachusetts, right? There was a while that number one son, back when he was in middle school, beginning high school, he kind of liked cooking, which I kind of dig cooking. And I enjoyed cooking, and they started cooking with me, the boys did. And it was great father-son kind of thing. But number one son thought that, well, maybe this is my career. Maybe I want to become a chef. It's like, uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Fortunately.
Cheeseburger, cheeseburger, cheeseburger.
Sorry. Yeah.
Did you immediately buy him his first pack of cigarettes?
No. Fortunately, one of our neighbors has one of the really nice restaurants downtown in Boston. And, you know, I always got along pretty well with him and said, can you have a chat with number one's son? And it was like, explain what this is all really about. And it's like, after that, no,
yeah.
He's like completely, it was your story, Jay, right?
Yeah. Well, but I mean,
you need to talk to somebody there.
Right. I work my way through college. I work 30 to 35 hours a week so that I had the money to pay for school, to you know, pay for food and all that. And I'm like, well, you know, what about something like that? Like, oh, God, no. You're like, you don't have time for a job. You might get like a half, you know, part of an afternoon once a week free.
Yeah, like, that's why doctors graduate with so much damn debt.
Yeah. And I'm
you
like,
can't afford to work while you're in med school.
You have to take. You have to finance all 3 years plus your residency plus work, you know. You're working 100 hours a week for, you know, $10 an hour until you get established. And it's a commitment.
You know, this makes an interesting segue into the Obamacare issue.
Yep.
Because how many people will be willing
right.
to go through all that?
That's what got me started on this in the first place. Exactly yep. that. Is that right now there's all these people that wash out of the pre-med and med school track because, you know, they get stars in their eyes because being a doctor is a prestigious job. You know, it pays very well.
Not for long.
It's a job that's deemed very heroic and you know, and
you get MD plates.
Yeah. But yeah. I remember somebody telling me, I never actually verified this. So maybe somebody can call in and verify this, but I heard that, in the height of the Cold War in the Soviet Union, there was no such thing as male doctors because the men just all didn't want to do that. They all wanted to work farming or some other thing because the pay was all the same. So
right.
why fucking kill themselves like that? Leave that
because
up to
farmers
women.
Don't
leave
work
to the lesser
hard.
People. Not the Russians. Yeah, did you see those bread lines? Those farmers weren't breaking their backs.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got some of the largest amounts of fertile land on the fucking planet, and people were starving to death.
My favorite story from Soviet Russia were the factory workers that would have to actually they would take their shirt tails and clamp them into vices on their work benches so they wouldn't fall over because they were so drunk.
Oh.
I actually heard from some Polish expats who actually jumped off of fishing boats and swam to shore in the middle of the wintertime just to get the fuck out of Warsaw Pact Poland. Was they would say that they would do it on it was Wednesday. It was always Wednesday. Everyone would pool their vodka rations and have a big block party. And show up for work the next day fucking shattered. And they'd all get fired from their jobs. So they'd have Thursday off, and then Friday they would get placed in their new jobs, and then they would have until Monday for their first day. And so they'd get the long weekend. So what they'd do is they'd get shattered Wednesday night. That way they would optimize the red tape.
The old joke in the Soviet Union was people would say they pretend to pay us, so we pretend to work.
Yep.
Right.
Well, and you know what's going to happen? you know, as as more people don't want to get, you know, don't want to do that job because the pay sucks, it's going to get dumbed down.
Well, and this is where I guess I should jump in, because I kind of put up this contrarian post.
Yes.
Today.
Which is why you're here.
Which it was wrong, but.
Well, I'm not so sure it's wrong, because I was thinking, you know, by lunchtime, I was already thinking that Roberts had pulled a rope-a-dope on the Democrats.
And that's, I think, exactly. Well, the way I would phrase that, Alan, is that maybe I've been reading too much Ann Althaus lately. But
no.
Oh, that's a mistake.
No.
But lately she's on this kind of bullshit phrase. You know, kick that she's been doing. And I think that is exactly what Roberts did, was that he said that there is too much bullshit that's going on right now, and both sides are doing it. And he decided that he was going to kick this back, because this is a political issue. This isn't a legal issue. It's a political one. And the parties need to fight this out in the trenches with knives. And that's exactly what he did. He kicked it back. He said, you can do this if you do it as a tax. It's going to be maybe the biggest tax increase in American history.
Here you go, guys.
Right.
And now we're going to – and it's, what, 2 months, 3 months before an election?
Uh-huh.
I think that this was absolutely brilliant on the part of John Roberts, and he just went – way up my list of who are the smartest guys in the United States right now.
Well,
let me ask
you
a question.
You know what? I have kind of examined this today in a political kind of sense, as far as like the election is coming up and what will people think about this and how will it affect their votes. Now, there is no denying that this is going to be like the biggest tax hike on the middle class in the history of ever.
Right. Exactly.
Correct.
For something they don't even want.
For something that most of them don't even want. Right. So you got to think about, you know, Joe Blow voter out there looking at this and thinking, holy shit, what did these Democrats just do? And not just what do these Democrats just do, but they're out there celebrating. They're out there. Nancy Pelosi is throwing like a cocktail party celebrating this Supreme Court decision.
Well, that's what I said. Why I said that I think that the Democrats are playing checkers.
Right.
And Roberts is playing chess, and he's thinking five moves away, and they just don't even get it.
Mm-hmm. So you got to think that the guy, you know, Joe Blow voter out there is looking at this and thinking, wait a minute, the Democrats are out there celebrating the fact that they have just raised my taxes and forced me to pay for something I don't want to pay for.
Why are they going to think that?
What?
Why are they going to think that?
Because
is the media going to say your taxes are going to go up to pay for this?
I think it's undeniable.
No, they're not.
Well, first of all, Jay, you know me, and you know I tend to err on the side of taking the long view rather than the short view. And so who knows how this is going to play out? But there's not just this election. There's another election 2 years from now. Mm-hmm. There's another election 2 years after that. And you cannot hide from the American people in the long term, meaning 2, 4, 6 years out, that the middle class is going to get worse benefits than they're currently getting. They're going to pay more out of their own pocket for what they're currently getting. Seniors are going to get less than they think that they have been promised in Medicare, because there's $500 billion that Obamacare takes out of Medicare.
Right.
And the young people are the ones who are going to be hit with this tax. Because they're young, mostly they're healthy, mostly, quite frankly, they don't need insurance. And yes, everybody should have it. But the young and healthy, rationally, a bunch of them probably don't need it. And so they're going to be paying more. And what you have is just constituency after constituency after constituency that the Democrats have just screwed. And they have done it not for anything other than really their ideology. And I think that the only question, Jay, I think is a good one that you raise is, can they get away with it because the media is going to cover for them this election cycle? But this thing is not going away. It is not going to go away. It's only going to get worse. The longer it's in, the more bad it's going to get. And quite frankly, I would not be surprised. Now, who knows? I called the GOP the stupid party for a reason. And, you know, my expectations of them are low. But if I were in charge of the GOP, I would be spending the next week meeting the boards of directors of all of the insurance companies in the United States saying, how much money are you going to pony up to run ads in marginal Senate districts, Senate races this year, to flip the Senate, because all we need is a majority. And then how much are you going to be running to help get Obama out here? Because if you flip the Senate, if you put Romney spit into the White House, then this thing's going to be over. That would be the message. Now, whether they'd follow through on it, who knows? Whether they're smart enough to do it, who knows? But this has, I think, completely changed the dynamics of what is going on as far as politics, as far as the money situation between the parties, as far as energizing the Tea Party. People have steam. Jay, look at you. You have steam coming out your ears right now. That this is, I was quite surprised to see this because, you know me, I've already come out and endorsed Obama for president simply because it would keep the Tea Party energized. And that's the one thing that we've seen that has given us real political change over the last few years.
Right.
I think John Roberts just changed that. I think that dynamic just changed. And even if Romney goes in, I think that you're going to see people that are so just fed up that they'll keep even him and even the GOP establishment on the straight and narrow. Maybe not, but at least there's a chance now. 6 months ago, this conversation wouldn't even be happening.
Right. Well, you know, I said earlier this evening, I said, imagine if this Obamacare got overturned and got declared unconstitutional. Imagine how, like, energized and fired up the Democratic Party would be. I think they would be rallying the troops, and they'd be all getting out to the polls, and they'd be all ready to vote and all that stuff. Whereas right now they're struggling to get contributions. A lot of Democratic representatives aren't even going to the convention.
Right.
There's a whole lot of apathy in the Democratic Party, and that's because of Obama. But if Obamacare had gotten overturned, imagine how fired up they'd be right now.
There's a lot of fear in the Democratic Party right now from people. No one wants to get too close to Obama. That it's toxic.
Well, and now they got saddled with the largest tax increase ever.
Yeah, and they're celebrating it. They're publicly celebrating the largest tax increase on the middle class in history.
And if the now, like I said, the Republican Party is not called the stupid party for nothing.
Yep.
Right.
But if they're smart, if they're not as dumb as I think that they are, they're recording all of these. And all of this is going to turn into a 30-second commercial in the run-up to the election in November that is going to be Nancy Pelosi celebrating the whole thing.
Yes, God willing.
The news media is not going to talk about Obamacare being a tax increase.
No, they won't.
But we've got the Supreme Court ruling stating that it's legal because it's a tax increase. And so that will be in every political ad. Every PAC will be running on that and all of that, because it's all about taxes.
Well, yeah, and Obama came out and said point blank in 2008, saying, no, this is not a tax.
Oh yeah, he said
this will not raise taxes on the middle class. Yeah. But the Supreme Court came out today and said, yes, it is.
Actually, they just agreed with Obama because his lawyers in front of the Supreme Court, his lawyer said, "Oh yeah, one of their they said Commerce Clause, and then they said, oh yeah, tax too, you know, because lawyers are, they can come up with six different reasons for the same thing, and they're all mutually exclusive."
What I find interesting is that people are already talking about how Obama is lagging behind Romney's fundraising.
Mm-hmm. He is. He's talking about how he's lagging behind.
And the non-campaign-specific fundraising is probably even worse. I haven't seen anything about that, but I would expect that the number of...
The Democrats had to cancel a big event because they didn't have enough money.
Exactly. And back to my point about whoever is in charge of the Republican Party, their chairman right now, should be meeting with the boards of directors of every one of the insurance companies saying, you got a choice right here. You can either pony up your share of what we expect to be a $100 million advertising campaign the last 3 weeks of the election about how horrible this is and how it's going to hurt the middle class, or we'll let you go out of business.
And they will go out of business.
I didn't look to see what the insurance company stock prices are doing right now, but there's not a single one of them that's going to be around in 5 years.
I don't see how, because they can't. What is it? They can't deny anybody for a previous condition. There are no longer any limits on coverage. As far as, because right now all your policies have, maximum lifetime payout of, X amount or whatever.
And you can't charge someone different for what their medical condition is. Now, this is a point that I want to make I want to say that from a policy perspective, this may or may not be a really bad thing, right? And people can choose to agree or disagree with that. But my whole point of my post was that from a political perspective, from the point of view of the Democratic Party's chance of survival, I think this is this is the worst possible thing that could have happened to them. And it's going to take them months to figure that out, which is simply a reflection about how dumb they are. So I may have to change to say that I've been saying that the Republicans are the stupid party. I may have to reconsider that we may see that there's a party that's dumber than they are.
Well, they're both dumb. They just fight each other for who's dumber at the moment.
Now, Jay, I think that, we haven't been arguing in the comment section, but this has been a very active comment section on the post that I put up, and you were one of the most active guys there. So you've been quiet for a bit. Why don't you jump in here?
Well, I want to make a distinction, first of all. I'm arguing from the immediate. I'm arguing in the sense of the 2012 election. Obama just won the 2012 election today. Okay?
You think so?
I'm saying that right now, confidently, because he is going to ride this as a major victory, as an acknowledgement of his most crowning achievement. What does he have besides Obamacare? I killed bin Laden. That's about the only other thing he has.
But the funny thing is he really had nothing to do with Obamacare.
Obamacare is very unpopular.
Exactly. Exactly. People hate it.
Yeah. By a large percentage. It's not just that, 56% of the people hate it. It's huge.
Again,
It's not just that they hate it. It's that people think it's illegitimate. So it's even worse than that. It's like they think that it is unconstitutional despite what the Supreme Court ruled. And the fact that you got a 5-4 decision is not going to change that. That needle isn't going to move at all.
In 3 months, when people have gone back to watching Jersey Shore, all that they're going to remember is, it went before the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said it was okay. That's all they're going to remember.
Well, Jay, the one thing that I would modify on that is that, Breida and Weird and I are all paying a lot of attention to this right now. We're not typical. most people are watching. They're not going back to Jersey Shore. They haven't.
They never
stopped.
Left it.
They never left
watching it. What yeah. they're going to do, you know, it's this whole theory about rational ignorance, which is actually rational. I actually yeah. kind of buy into it. People will start paying attention to the election 2 or 3 weeks before they vote.
Exactly. And a lot of people, it was really funny. It was funny today at work. I knew about the decision, like when it happened, 2 seconds after it happened. And then 2 hours later, 2 hours later, my boss says to me, "Oh, the Supreme Court upheld the Obamacare."
Hey,
I said, "Yeah." Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's kind of you get like kind of an easy way to judge how people are paying attention, really.
But I firmly buy into the whole theory of rational ignorance as far as politics.
Oh, I buy into it for everything.
Sure.
And
why don't you explain it for those of us who are unclear on the concept?
The whole theory of rational ignorance is that there is no demonstrated gain from people spending a lot of time following the day-to-day news about political issues, unless they are a lobbyist or someone who's, you know, professionally involved in that kind of thing. And so the idea is that most people don't pay much attention. Most people don't actually watch the evening news or read the newspaper. And they hear things here and there, but they'll start listening a little bit more as the election gets closer. I should probably kind of figure out who I should vote for here. And so in the last week or so before the election is when most people make up their minds. And from the point of view of Joe Schmo and Podunk, it's hard to argue much against that. It's like he's not going to get ahead by paying more attention unless you kind of enjoy it. Like, I think a lot of us who blog about it kind of, you know, groove
it's
on
it's
the
a hobby
whole
thing,
attention.
You know?
Exactly.
It's the part of my brain that would normally be watching the Red Sox or following the Patriots.
How about those Red Sox?
Or in the Jersey.
I couldn't even tell you who's on the team.
Or in the Jersey Shore context, you know,
go
it's like Duke. what celebrity is doing. I mean, it's the same exact thing. I mean, let's not kid ourselves.
Can I just point out that Obama got booed in Boston?
Ooh.
No, they were saying
about the Red Sox.
They were saying Uke. They were saying Burns.
Jay, move closer to the router.
Sorry.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
No, Jay, router. I'm going to duct tape him to the router.
I know.
Jay, you need one of those large apple juice bottles for when you do.
I think though that there is a point when, you know, people like us who do pay attention every single day to politics and we read the articles and we follow the minutiae and everything. I think that we forget, though, that a lot of people don't. And we try to relate to people and try to, you know, convince them. And I think we need to – God, it's hard to – it's terrible to say this, but I think we need to use smaller words. Or this something. You know, it's like talking to stupid people. Like, you need to really kind
Rita,
of –
I don't think
break
the
it down
are...
and say, okay, this. I don't know.
Rita, the one thing that I would say is that I don't think most people are stupid, and maybe I'm just being a bit.
No, I think most people are. They want a summary. They want why
let me explain.
And how.
No, wait.
And,
let me sum up.
Okay.
But see, the whole thing is, when does this go into effect? When are the taxes going to start kicking in?
2014.
Bingo! So for the next 4.5 months,
uh-huh.
we're going to be bombarded with Barack Obama gave the United States universal health care.
And okay. Jay, this is where you and I diverge because
yes.
I'm saying that if Obama gets reelected, what that gives is that gives a huge impetus to all of the people who are – this is going to energize the Tea Party. It is going to keep the Republican Party focused on fighting what he's doing. He's going to continue to crash because he is completely...
I'm sorry, you're so cute. He is... You're so cute. The Republican Party's going to go, we must go more left.
Or...
And they're stupid.
Well,
they nominated Mitt fucking Romney.
Then they'll be able to compare
notes. You can't tell me they're going to be more conservative. They're nominating Mitt Romney.
Then they will be
able to compare. God!
Jay.
I'm waiting on Jay's head to explode.
I think Jay needs to be with the dialed Whig back party. A little bit. Jay?
The Republican?
No, but Jay has an absolutely good point. Is Romney can talk about that, oh, on day one of my presidency, I'm gonna start action to repeal Obamacare. But yeah, it's gonna be the same thing as Obama said, you know, I'm gonna close Gitmo and I'm gonna bring all the troops home on day one of my presidency.
And yep. Stop the Patriot Act.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly. Yep.
There's a whole lot of smoke coming out of my ass. How'd that get up there?
Well, here's the
only thing.
Can I say one thing in Romney's favor? And I don't think I've ever said anything in Romney's favor.
Okay, but I'm going to need a shower.
There you go. Here's the thing. And, you know, Jay, you and Weird live in Massachusetts. I used to live in Massachusetts. We saw this guy, right? The one thing I think we can all agree on is
this is a pig fucker.
Is what, well, what.
He has magic underwear.
What Mitt Romney is in favor of is what will be good for Mitt Romney politically.
Right.
And so if he is going to face a huge rebellion in his own party, let's talk about Mike Castle. I mean, I actually think that Christine, what's her name, was a beautiful, beautiful thing. It was a beautiful thing to happen to the Republican Party because what it said was, we will vote for the village idiot before we will vote.
Wow.
And if Mitt Romney goes full bore, I'm going to, in other words, now that there's no choice other than to repeal it and sign the repeal into law, if he goes full bore, I'm going to go cross and party lines on this thing, then Christine O'Donnell may primary him and she might win.
Here's a big flaw, though, is that, or what does that mean? If let's just say devil's advocate, Mitt Romney completely lies and says whatever he thinks will get him elected. Namely, I'm going to repeal Obamacare, which I signed into law.
This is not a thought experiment that you're doing. This is exactly what he's going to do.
Okay, so now he does that and does exactly what Obama did with all of his campaign promises, which is completely ignore them. All of his promises come with an expiration date, and the moment he assumes office, you know, in January, all promises become null and void. What happens? He runs and runs for one term.
Right?
How's that going to upset him? That's pretty much his game plan. He just wants to see his face on that plaque. As Massachusetts governor.
I don't think that Mitt Romney has a view of he wants one term. I don't think at all. I think that he is ambitious. Well, I don't.
It's an interesting thought, though, because does he really want to be president or does he just want to join the club? Because I'm Mitt Romney, and poof, I'm an NRA Life member.
If he's ambitious, then why the fuck is he bothering running for president? It's not like you ever saw Bill Gates or Steve Jobs running for president, though they could do it. You don't see Oprah could win the presidency in a heartbeat.
The first thing I would say, Weird, is that nobody has ever run for office saying, I want to be a one-term president. Maybe James Polk.
Obama did.
Obama said, if I haven't fixed the economy in 3 years, I'm a one-term proposition.
And who are the Democrats going to nominate for president this year?
I don't know. Hillary?
Yeah. I'm actually amazed Hillary didn't primary against him.
I think that who's this guy in West Virginia, their senator?
The guy who's in jail?
Just say who he voted for in the primary. In other words, he refused to say whether he voted for the sitting president in his party or a convicted felon who was in the big house down in Beaumont. He wouldn't even say. I just think that that is the coolest thing I've heard in ages and ages.
Yeah, I was actually very, very surprised. I thought as soon as the 2010 election went down so hard as it did for the Democrats, I thought Hillary was going to resign as Secretary of State and start doing the news tours. And she's smart enough to go that she could start talking good about President Obama for a few months and then start having minor disagreements and then finally start to be angry with him.
Yeah.
And then run a primary against them and beat them like a
That's actually a data point that says that Obama is going to lose. Because Clinton is perhaps the smartest politician of our generation. And if Bill thinks that Obama's going to lose, then she doesn't have to do any of that. She can just be quiet, let Obama go down in flames. And then she's still young enough that she could have one more shot.
I disagree. I don't think in 2016 she's got a viable shot.
How old was Reagan when he was elected president?
Reagan was
60 something.
What was Reagan's waist size when he was elected president?
Wow.
Besides, tell me it doesn't matter. They're going to start talking about. I mean, they've always were talking about how young and fit Obama is because the smokes keep him thin,
yeah.
and all of this. I mean, it's everyone always talks about who's got a better set of hair. There was that whole thing about the fact that McCain has got some shitty government issued teeth because the VC kicked them all in. I mean, it's the presidential election is absolutely all about the superficial. So, yeah. I would say,
I'm not going to make a call one way or other.
But
I think that it's the whole what's the matter with Kansas thing. Where who's the idiot who wrote that? I can't even remember his name anymore. This book that was published back around 2000. We're saying why does Kansas, where they have a lower than average median American income, is their median income? Why do they keep voting Republican, right? And the answer is that they kind of figured out that the Democrats are bad for their pocketbook. I think if we take the long view, which I like to do, that the Democrats have set a whole series of things in motion that are going to screw over the middle class. It's going to screw over the elderly. And there's no amount of short-term spin or happy, happy, happy on the Today Show that is going to get people believing that they're actually not screwed over by all of this. And I think that that's why the Democrats don't realize just what a deep pit of fail that they're in right now, is that they keep thinking this short-term tactical. If I can just hold this coalition together and get one more group in, like you see, everything that Obama is doing is tactical. Let me see if I can pull the Hispanics in with some amnesty kind of thing. Let's run up a war on women to see if we can pull the women vote in. It's all tactical, tactical, tactical. And at the end of the day, with most of the people who make up their mind 2 weeks before the election, it's the are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? And the Democrats cannot dig themselves out of that.
But that's not going to come up. That's the whole point. Okay, the candidate has to be smart enough to bring it up and hammer it home. It's the economy, stupid. Yes.
No, one has to bring it up.
Let me ask you a question. What's the percentage of people working for the government compared to private industry?
Jay, what's the percentage of people that that know how much money they bring in every 2 weeks? 100%.
Yeah.
The numbers don't lie. Everyone knows whether they're better off or they're worse off. And all of the spin that the media does, which is way less effective than it was, and all of the happy, 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 and all of the pushing that Hollywood and all of these people do, and all of the pushing that the schools and the education establishment does, I think at the end of the day, when people look at their paychecks and say, I'm not getting ahead, they look at how much money they have in their houses, I'm not getting ahead, I don't have any more equity than I used to have, all of this stuff, no one needs to tell the American people how well off they are or not. No one has to tell them
that. The people that pay attention to that stuff are already going to vote for the lesser of two evils.
Hey, you know what?
Most people don't pay attention to that stuff. As long as they've got enough money to go out and have dinner at Chili's once a week and a case of beer in the fridge, they're happy.
No one pays attention to how well they're doing economically.
Not enough to decide an election, my friend.
I guess that we just disagree on that.
I gotta side with Borpatch on this one. When I first got my first, because obviously as a kid you get a lot of jobs of, doing paper routes and mowing lawns and babysitting and things like that. Where someone says, "Hey, we're going out tonight. Will you watch our kids and feed them dinner and get them in bed on time." Help yourself to whatever's in the fridge, and we'll give you $20 when we get home, and they give you a $20 bill. And then when I got my first payroll job, where it was the, all right, I'll give you $8 an hour to do this. All right, and I'm on the job for 10 hours. Well, that's $80. Awesome. And then suddenly I get $69. Whoa, what? That's a huge turning point in everybody's life.
Who's this FICA son of a bitch, and what's he doing with my money?
Everyone has this. Social Security? What the fuck? I'm 17 years old.
Hey, you know what we got?
A caller.
We have a call in number.
Here's back to the short term, long term
hang on.
Kind of thing.
Wait, one second. Hang on. 214-530-0036. Call in. And you can argue with Jay, too.
That's right. Call in and tell me why I'm right, damn it.
Okay, go ahead, Borpatch. You were going to say something?
Oh, okay. Here's the thing. Back to the short-term, long-term thing, right? And it's all been very well tuned to say it doesn't hit until 2014, because then Obama's going to be mostly done with his second term. Right. But think about it in terms of what does that mean to the Democratic Party when you have 30 million people get the choice of you can pay $4,000 or $8,000 a year to get health care and be ruined, or you can pay $2,000 a year in taxes and be slightly less ruined. How does that change the political dynamics? And you can't blame that on George W. Bush. And
sure,
if the
can.
Republicans, who's going to believe that? I mean, this is Jay.
Yeah, I think that mule's been beaten clearly to death.
So
the
Democrats have dug themselves into a situation. They have lit the fuse. And what's going to blow them up?
I'm not arguing against that. I need to stress, I'm arguing short term here.
No, and I agree with you that I actually think that if Obama gets elected, there's going to be a huge, huge hit that this country takes. No argument at all about that. We're going to take it on the chin, or worse, but it may just be that our choice is to take the hit and get past it and then correct that because our kids need that. And I think back to the years of the Depression. And I think back to the months after Pearl Harbor, where everything was looking bad. And I do think that this country has been through worse times than we're looking at right here. These are bad times, admittedly.
Oh, yeah, we've been through far worse.
But there have been times when things have been much darker than they are now. And I have, I guess, maybe I'm just the eternal optimist, but I have a faith in the American people as far as, at the end of the day, a practicality that maybe we'll give it a try, but if it doesn't work, people are going to say, screw this if it's costing me a lot. What we've seen on the last 30 years is a whole series of, I'll give you something free. I'll give you something, and somebody else will pay for it. And now, between now and 2014, we're going to see, no, you're going to pay for it, and it's going to go to someone else. And I think that that is going to be the end of the Democratic Party as we know it.
That's actually a point I hadn't considered, is that we're going to hit the point where all of a sudden Social Security goes, oh, shit, it's all gone.
It's all gone.
It is gone. And,
well, Medicare, no, where they can no longer pretend that it's not gone.
Exactly.
It's going to get to a point where there's nothing. You can't pull it. You can't shovel in what you're collecting today
right.
to the people expecting their checks today.
Yep.
Jay, I think that we're already seeing this, and we're already seeing the Democratic Party throwing their traditional constituencies under the bus for their own self-preservation. And you see this with the Wisconsin, the public employee unions, where there was this huge drive, all of this energy to recall Governor Walker. And then the guy that they put up kind of wouldn't even talk about that in the recall election. Just wouldn't even talk about it. Wouldn't come up.
We wouldn't talk about what? I'm sorry.
About the public employee unions.
Yeah.
It was all about, oh, well, we need to be nicer in our politics and stuff like that. He did not say, I am running so that we will protect the public employee pensions. He didn't. It was radioactive, and he wouldn't go there. Even the Democrats
get that. Look at Detroit. Exactly. You need no further than Detroit to see what's happening as a result of the democratically backed policies. The unions have destroyed the automobile industry, destroyed it. They have destroyed the city of Detroit to the point where RoboCop is optimistic.
Well,
okay,
but
214-530-0036.
The Detroit portrayed
in RoboCop caller?
Is better than the Detroit of today.
But Jay, this is why I am optimistic. Even after today, I am optimistic.
You're thinking that we're hitting bottom and we're going to start bouncing back.
Captain Capitalism has this tagline, enjoy the decline. And what I am seeing right now, I'm seeing it right now, is the decline of the Democratic Party. And I have to say, I am enjoying that.
I
need to refill my whiskey right now, but
the alternative wasn't the Republican Party, I'd be 100% in agreement with you.
Oh yeah, on the same as the eternal cynic, because I live in fucking Massachusetts, and I've learned that being an optimist just means crying, just means going to sleep on a soggy pillow. Scott Brown said he was going to be a good man, and he's a fucking communist.
Scott Brown, you love me, Scott Brown.
Wait until you have Senator Pocahontas.
Pocahontas, Taxajawea.
I agree with you, Borapatch, though. I agree with you that this is kind of – I think this sort of thing has – there's already been kind of a split in the Democratic Party where people are starting to say, wait a minute, this is not the Democratic Party of my father and of Kennedy and, you know, the blue-collar guys who go out to work every day. They're all like, wait a minute, what's going on?
And with full disclosure, this is the point that I need to say that I not only used to be a Democrat, registered.
Me too.
But
me too.
I held elective office in the Democratic Party apparatus.
Okay.
I was elected to the Democratic Party County Council. It was years and years and years ago. But it was back in the days when the Democrats actually used to be the guys who would stand up for the middle class, for the poor, who would not screw the young poor people. They would not screw the elderly. And what you're seeing right now is the opposite of that. And that's why I think the wheels are going to come off. And they're going to come off soon.
Yeah. Well, I completely agree with you.
I would agree, except we've heard this tune before.
Look at the fundraising, Jay.
We heard it.
Look
in
at the 60s. Fundraising that's going on.
Can
You're
we have
already
like people
it.
On the air that aren't from Massachusetts? Really?
Well, I'm
somebody
in Georgia.
Call in. Yeah. Okay. Somebody else call in.
214-530-0036.
Jay, Weird. I love you very much, but your viewpoint is a little skewed from the rest of the country right now.
That's fair.
Yeah, man.
It is.
Let me tell you, I think I lost readers when
I think the rest of the country has a different viewpoint than, you know, what's going on, you know, what the experience has been in Massachusetts with Romney and et cetera. I think the rest of the country is having a little bit of a split here. I think that there's something else going on. So if anybody else would like to call in and argue with Jay,
please,
it'd be terrific.
Because no one wants to argue with me.
Before we get some more optimists in here, and call in if you're an optimist, please. Because
please,
I get so horribly depressed.
I mean,
another big issue I've got though is the exact same split is happening within the Republican Party. Is always the discussion that people always talk about smaller government and individual liberty, bloody, 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 blah. And yet, for the last two election cycles, and you know, more than that, depending on how you want to rank, you know, George W. Bush, because he didn't quite come off the same way as Romney and McCain did, but is been one of those is always been play to the middle,
right?
And it's been play to the middle and lose. And one thing that I'm actually absolutely terrified of is if just because of Obama's sheer incompetence, Romney wins. It doesn't matter what's in the tea leaves. The pointy heads that run campaigns are going to declare that election to be a mandate on moderates. And so it's going to. I mean, that's the big reason why Romney did as well as he did was it was one of those. Well, John McCain won the election, and Romney's was the next in line. Let's keep going on in this same direction.
Hey, guess what? We got a caller.
Yay! I'll shut up.
Caller.
Okay, calling in from area code 815. Hello.
Good evening.
Hello. Area code 815.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Oh, come on. What a cock.
Is the thing working tonight, Alan?
Yeah, it's working.
Okay.
Let's make Miguel call it. Miguel, your voice sounds pretty.
Okay. We don't have a caller. Never mind.
Let me just say something that I think is an encouraging thing, that passions are running high. I actually think that's a good thing for this country.
Let me take this as a caller again.
Oh.
Okay.
Hello, area code 815. Hello.
Bet they're calling it on an iPhone.
Do the sound turn up, Alan?
Well, that's what I'm checking.
Check, check, check.
Yeah, it's...
See, I think that the iPhone guy, his phone is telling him he has 5 bars.
Hey, I'm on an iPhone right now. It's doing fine.
It's doing better than Chase router.
Shut up.
Is Jay.
Hey, I was taking... Leave me alone.
Anyway.
Oh, crap. War patch, I had a... Damn it, I had something... Ah, son of a... Oh,
I blame your router. It's probably Cisco.
Actually, we just replaced a Cisco. We have a Netgear now.
Okay.
We have a modem that looks like it was built sometime in the Bush administration. And I mean Herbert Walker. It's an RCA. It's actually got a wooden case. It's kind of neat.
Does it have a wooden case?
It's got a little crank on the side to keep it going.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Hey.
Hello? Who is
this?
Okay.
This
oh,
is
my
Alan.
God.
I'm calling in on the phone.
Wait, what?
Alan's line.
Jesus
Christ. I called in on the call line just to make sure it worked.
The call is coming from inside the chat.
What the fuck?
Oh, no. All right, I'm going to try this again.
Okay. I don't like that at all.
On Meta Vicious Circle.
Okay, area code 815.
I've been trying so hard.
Now we can hear you.
There we go.
This stupid piece of crap.
Where is area code 815?
I'd give anything to get rid of it.
Anyway.
This is Chief J Bob.
Hey!
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 I know that guy. He comments on my blog.
Who, what?
And since you guys were asking for someone to call from outside of Massachusetts, I thought I'd call, but I'm really calling from Massachusetts.
You're not helping much. He's calling from Illinois. Oh,
what's his name again? Who is this? Who's calling?
Chief J-Bob.
Oh, okay.
J-Bob.
And he's in the land of Barack.
Somebody's got a cuckoo clock.
I don't.
And I got a cuckoo clock. Sorry,
I just heard it cuckooing.
It's 10 o'clock.
Yeah. So which of us is the biggest idiot, Chief J-Bob?
What's that?
So which of us is the biggest idiot?
Oh, like putting somebody on the spot.
Pick me.
Well, I gotta go with Weird only because he was with me on the whole butt plug mystery object thing. And I can't tell you how disappointed I was that it wasn't really a butt plug.
trust me, Jay, trust me.
What caliber for butt plug?
I'm going to shoot that in airplane.
The main thing I wanted to call it about was to just comment to Patch about, I've been reading your post about blogger burnout, and I'm all glad that you've decided that this is a temporary condition. I really enjoy reading your posts, especially about the global warming situation, and I'm trying to do my best to re-educate the knuckleheads around here, but it's been a struggle.
Chief J-Bob, can I just say that this is the nicest call-in comment that I've ever had in my life.
I think he's going to have to start sending smoke signals.
Oh, good. I thought it was just me. I wasn't going to say anything because I just assumed it was me.
You're breaking up a little bit there.
No, it's my piece of crap phone because I live in South here in my hometown, and nobody.
He's censoring himself.
This is the best call ever.
Best call ever.
You've got the Brita seal of approval. That's all you need. She was getting ready to kill us.
You can die a happy man.
Yeah. Okay.
Is this
He's got
better?
A rotary dial cell phone.
Yeah, that's better.
I don't know.
No, it's the tone. He has to sing the tone of the number.
Chief J-Bob, what I've learned just being on this call with this crew is you just need to start talking and get them to keep talking, and they'll eventually stop talking.
It doesn't do any good to wait. You have to kind of start yapping and fill the time with a little bit of BS and blah, 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 until everybody stops. Then you can get your point across. I'm starting to figure that out, but. I've had a few beers tonight, so I'm a little slow on the update there.
A
few beers is good.
Drink several is, I think, the lesson of this political season.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with my number one blog son.
All right, so J-Bob, got to ask. So what's your feeling on the Supreme Court ruling on this whole Obamacare thing? Is it good? Is it bad?
Well,
is it horrible?
I'm really conflicted. When I first heard it come out over the news on the news radio, I almost drove off the road. I was so disgusted, and I'm still a little concerned, but I'm kind of hoping that Borpatch is on the right track. But I'm just scared.
Yeah, I may be hopelessly optimistic.
When do they roll back any control that they've got? When have they ever come back and said? We you know what? We really reached a little too far with this one. We're going to back off now.
Never.
Yeah.
That's the thing that has me really scared.
The only thing I can think of is the Spanish-American War phone tax they got rid of back in the 90s.
What about 10 years ago?
After 100 years.
That's a very close corollary there.
Prohibition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Prohibition. Yeah, prohibition is about the.
Yeah, and that brought us the ATF. Excuse me if I don't consider that a win. Yeah.
Assault weapons ban.
Well, that had
that was a sunset.
That had a built-in sunset.
Yeah, that they didn't repeal that.
I guarantee that it would not be repealed today if it didn't have that sunset.
The next one,
they would have repealed it.
Yeah, just like you did in Massachusetts. Wait a minute. Well, but Borpatch, I wanted to bring up another thing, and this kind of fits in. Roberts may very well have been on the side of the Angels and turn this into something wonderful. The problem is he's relying on the Republicans to pick it up and run with it.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That's my problem.
Actually, the one thing, irregardless of what anybody else does, whether the Republicans run with it or not.
Did he really just say irregardless?
Yes, he did.
God. I've got all I can do here. I'm going to go and let the more intelligent callers take my spot. I got to go after
Jay
that.
No, Bob, that is the comment of all comments right there.
Have a wonderful night. I'm going to finish listening.
All right, thanks.
Good night, gang.
Jay Bob, thank you for your comment. That means a lot.
Anybody else can call in. Accent. Anybody else can call in and say nice things about me too.
Yeah, that's right. No, what I was going to say is the one thing that Roberts did that doesn't depend on anybody else doing anything is he put a stake in the ground on the Commerce Clause. He basically the Supreme Court has unanimously ruled that there are some things the government cannot do based on the Commerce Clause, which before now basically didn't exist. I mean, you could pretty much, they rolled and rolled and rolled on that damn Commerce Clause. And finally we have a limit. I mean, it's not much of one. I mean, the limit seems to be you can't force people to participate in commerce.
One of the things that I'm thinking is
that's an excellent point, Alan, by the way.
And related to that is one of the things that I have learned over the years just in the kind of job that I do is that when you put together a business plan and you brief the financials to people, nobody ever argues with your numbers, at least not if they're smart. What they do is they argue with your assumptions.
Right.
And what Roberts has done is not to argue with the specific of the short-term tactical, all of that. It's like what he's saying is that there's a political process in this country, and his assumption is that that political process is still viable. Now, if he's wrong, then quite frankly, we're all screwed.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
And that this country will not survive in the form that it is. Roberts is not taking that view. Roberts is saying that I am going to kick this back into the political arena and let the knife fight start, because this needs to be resolved in the political arena, not in the court system. That's why he's saying, if you want to do a tax, you can do all of this stuff. Just cut the BS.
Yep.
And Americans hate taxes. Mm-hmm. Americans love taxes that someone else pays.
Right.
Bingo.
But this is something that's going to hit them.
Yep. So, look at taxes historically. You know, in the U.S.,
we pay a lot lower taxes than Europe.
Well, yeah, but in the U.S., the tax load has never been consistently over time more than, 20%.
19 is the average.
Right. So, right. Of GDP.
Mm-hmm.
So, if the Democrats think that they're going to be able to increase the tax burden significantly on the population, I think they're in for a rude awakening.
Alan, what was the price of gas 10 years ago? You want to remind me? I'll tell you what it was. It was 99 cents a gallon.
That's not taxing. That's inflation.
Okay. All right. People are losing their shit happy. The gas is down to $3.25 a gallon. $3.25. It was 99 cents a gallon in 1999.
Yeah, but that ship has sailed. I mean, the Federal Reserve has inflated the currency so much, you'll never see that price on gas ever again.
But it hasn't inflated it by a factor of three times.
Yeah.
Not in 10 years. You haven't had 300% inflation.
Not in 10 years.
Gallon of milk doesn't cost $6 a gallon. Okay? More importantly, a six-pack of beer does not cost $15 a gallon.
Getting there.
Gas, what happens without gasoline? Nothing. Okay? You can't afford beer? Oh, well, it sucks to be you. But you can live without it. You can't get to your job. You can't get your kids to school. You can't do shit without gasoline. You've got to buy it.
So and this is why the Democrats are in a real problem. Because what they've been doing is they've been playing to the environmental groups. And the more that they do that, eventually it hits the point where it just costs too much. And you see the traditional groups. It's like, how is it? I remember when I was a kid. Now, I'm pretty old. You know, back in the 60s, I remember we put together care packages of old clothes to send down to poor people in Appalachia. That's my life, that I have lived that. The idea that a sitting Democratic president will lose the votes of Appalachia is a divide-by-zero error to someone who grew up in that. That's where this has come. And so the question that we need to be asking ourselves is, okay, so there has been this fundamental shift. How is that going to play out now that the costs can no longer be hidden from the people who are paying them?
And we got another caller.
Hey!
Area code 971.
Say something nice about Jay.
Hello, it's Indev.
Indev.
Hey!
All right.
TactfulTupperware.com.
It's about time you called. Jeez.
Well, you got to remember, I'm on the West Coast. It's only 7 o'clock here. I just barely finished dinner.
Ugh, excuses. Jeez.
Eat faster.
Yeah, no kidding.
Those of us on the East Coast have been drinking heavily for hours.
Damn straight.
I didn't say I haven't been drinking heavily for hours.
Oh, touche. Well played. Well played.
Maybe I just do things in a different order.
Sounds good to me. So, what's your take on it?
Oh, I don't know. What could we possibly be talking about tonight?
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Well played.
And maybe I'm just trying to make lemonade out of lemons here, but at least for me, today solidified me behind Mitt Romney.
Oh.
And I don't like the man. And
isn't that a horrible thing to have to say?
You guys, you know, many of you guys do, but today he is now, you know, he's their only hope of getting rid of it. So
this is his opportunity to shine or not. There's no doubt about that. This is his moment, and he can either make it or blow it right now in the next 3 months.
I agree. Yep. I agree. So, I mean, that's kind of the way I look at it, and I say, I didn't like him, and I thought about, you know, going third party or doing something like that, and then after today, I said, okay, wait a minute, what am I really doing here?
Tell me again what state you're in, MDev. Are you actually in California, Stan?
I'm Washington.
Okay, Washington.
I almost don't matter as much.
He's in North California.
Are you in the American part of Washington or the Canadian part of Washington?
Well, it doesn't matter. His vote won't count in Washington anyway. So.
I'm Western Washington. I'm probably 20 miles south of Gay Cynic, but 25 miles south of a certain previous co-host of Breed Up.
What?
Nothing.
The one who shall not be mentioned.
Oh.
Voldemort. Voldemort.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Jay spoke a killing word.
Well, you know, Washington's going for Obama anyway, so you can vote for whoever you want to, MDev. It won't make any difference.
Jokes.
I know, but I like to think that it matters.
Can I just say something about the who's going to vote for what? I think that none of the polls are trustworthy right now. And
People talk about the Bradley effect.
The Bradley effect is not about people being racist. The Bradley effect is about people being concerned about being called racist. But I think that take 3 or 4 or 5% off of all of Obama's numbers across the country, that's the real number. And when we get to people finally going in and pulling the lever, I think that you're going to see 300, 340 votes, electoral votes for Romney. I think it's going to be a landslide.
I'd be willing to say in this
I will go on record
that there
and
are
bet
people who have an Obama bumper sticker who will not pull the lever for Obama because everybody else in their friend group has an Obama bumper sticker.
Oh, good. I like to pee on those.
How many of those people do you think won't vote for him this time around?
Or won't vote at all?
Or won't vote. Yeah. That's probably more important. Because Breeder brought this up. It's like if the Supreme Court had struck this down, it very well would have energized that whole Democratic base. She was absolutely right about this.
Thank you.
But they've got it right now. It's there. It's in the bag.
But the flip side is they're all partying right now. They won. They're happy.
So they're going to be drunk and hung over.
The flip side is, what were you just saying about fundraising? It is a classic move. I get it in appeals from the NRA. I get it from Scott Brown. It's, I'm behind. Help me catch up to the other guy. That's what they're doing
right now. We haven't talked about Eric Holder tonight.
Yeah, I know. I was about to suggest we've beaten this thing to death. Let's talk about some other topics.
Let's talk about something happy.
Actually, before we talk about Holder, I wanted to bring up one thing because you know we have Boar Badge on the line.
Uh oh.
And this is kind of right up your alley.
Uh oh.
I'm going to put the link in the chat. There was what I thought was a very interesting development. University of Texas at Austin spent the class. This is the article says researchers, but it was a class. It was a class project.
Alan, can I just say one thing?
What?
The only way that story could have gotten better is if they'd had the drone attack somebody molesting a kid.
Yeah, I know.
This was epic what I heard about.
With
this,
about $1,000 in equipment, hijacked a drone.
That's awesome.
I got a quick question. Did they get the blessing of the Defense Department before they, it all ends up in federal prison?
I think they did it on a dare.
Yeah, my understanding is the Department of Homeland Security said, go ahead and try. And they were like, oh, okay.
Well, even better, we'll go out and try and we'll do it while we're drunk.
and the interesting thing is,
duct tape and bailing
is they did it with GPS spoofing.
Alan, since you asked my opinion, even if they hadn't asked permission, that nobody in the government would have dared to come after them for this. Because there's too much embarrassment for too many people when it comes out, and it would come out. Right. And so it's better to take the hit now and go back and retrofit. Those of us who were in the security industry have been looking for a while about the whole – I mean basic stuff of like, you mean you don't encrypt the links to the drones, huh?
Yeah, right. That was
and,
a good one.
You know, some of the bad guys in Afghanistan who have been – where they get them and they get their laptops and there are – videos that have been recorded of drone downlink stuff. It's I actually think that somebody should be fired on this. I actually, if you push
yeah,
me
this
enough,
isn't, this
drinking
isn't...
enough whiskey, someone should be sent to Gitmo as a inmate, not as a visitor for this, because this is...
It's not 1980, There's no excuse for not encrypting your shit anymore. I mean, really, there's just not.
Do you remember that scene from Spaceballs?
Which one?
Oh, you mean you? it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to open your case? Wow, it's that for mine too. This is not new.
Yep.
Now, given that, let me give you a story from back in the day, right? And it illustrates the fact that people don't think about security. Security is not an afterthought. It's not thought of at all. We were out at one of the government labs where they do nuclear bomb kind of stuff. And we were doing a vulnerability scan. We were probing the network to find out where there were things, systems that might be vulnerable for somebody to break in. And part of that, probably the most effective part, actually, even now, is doing password guessing, because passwords are terrible. People use crummy passwords. It's the easiest way for the bad guys to get in.
Oh, yeah.
And so there was this whole list of passwords that we would use, like I'm going to try and log in as admin with the password of admin, root, password of root. Well, one of the things that was in there was shutdown. Well, we were out at this lab, and there was this whole series of great big, huge, stinking computers. And some Einstein there decided that, you know what, it would be really cool if we could remotely shut these things down. And so they set up an account named Shutdown with a password so that everyone could remember it. The password was Shutdown, and it executed the shutdown routine when you logged in. And so we're sitting there in the computer room, actually next to those computers with the guy from the government lab. And all of a sudden, the computer screens woke up and came to life and said, the system is going down immediately. And the next one, the nice. System is going down immediately. The system is going down immediately. The system is going down immediately, all down the row. And the guy from the government lab said something along the lines of, make it stop. Make it stop. And unfortunately, I was there with one of our engineers who said something along the lines of, well, now that would be a vulnerability, wouldn't it?
Yeah, no kidding.
But that explains everything that you need to know about the drones. So the only thing that is questionable in my mind is, could you monitor what's going on during some of the drone tests and reverse engineer the unencrypted uplink and downlink and figure out how to fire one of the Hellfire missiles?
Oh, I'm sure you could. I have no doubt whatsoever that that's doable.
Well, here's the other thing that I somewhat concerns me even more. We're seeing that, you know, these drones are going to become more and more popular, and every SWAT team is, you know, now going to have a drone. And I imagine that they're going to be at least as bad, if not even worse. So at the very worst, you've got a missile that can fly into your window by just directing the drone there, even if the drone is not armed. You know what I mean? I mean, don't we have to assume that the local PD is going to be even worse on their encryption than,
well,
you know, DOD?
Not even, not even that. I mean, think of the people that are going to be recording that video feed and using it for nefarious purposes.
Well, here's the question. Could you listen in on the commands and record the command that says fire the Hellfire missile? Just record it. And then could you later, at some later date, replay that command and actually cause that thing to fire? And now, Alan, you might want to invite some First Amendment attorney onto the show, because the question is, if you published those commands on your blog, here is the IP packet that you should send with the drone's IP address in the destination field. Is that protected, publishing this, is that protected under First Amendment?
Yeah.
Could be enjoined from publishing that under prior restraint?
I'm pretty sure
they're not. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure they're not controlled with TCP/IP, though.
You know what? I'm willing to, I don't know that I'd bet huge money, but I'd think that I'd be willing to take a long shot that it's actually IDPAC. It's going up there.
Wow.
Well, stop and think. If you want to deploy these things as quickly as possible, because we're in a war on terror and it's an emergency and it's 1992, and what's the fastest way to get out there? The fastest way is to use commercial off the shelf. You drop it in. We'll come back and fix it later. And here it is 10 years later, and, well, we haven't quite got around to going back and fixing that because we've got, like, 40,000 drones in the field, and now if we fix it, then we can't talk to any of our drones. I could absolutely see that scenario going on. Now, I should say here, I don't have any idea. I've never worked on a drone in my life. I have no classified information about this, but just being in this industry – I could see it playing out like this. Absolutely.
Well, that would suck.
Oh, this would be fun. Are you kidding? This would suck. This would be the exact situation that we'd want to be in. Because everybody, all these local police departments, what do you think a Hellfire missile costs them?
Oh, the police departments won't have Hellfire missiles.
Oh, you want to bet?
Nah, they won't.
They won't. But what's nice is the little surveillance drone when some script kitty from 4chan decides to park it in the senator's pool
or crash it into his car.
Here's the thing. I mean,
or just follow him around at about 50 paces. Buzz him enough.
I work for a company that does internet video, and the reason they hired me is because somebody said
you work for YouTube.
This is all going over the internet. What could possibly go wrong, right? and so, boil it down. How do you explain this to somebody who's been living in this telephony, video, how many bits per second, that world? How do you explain security to a guy like that in 5 seconds? And the answer is this conference call that we're having right now going to show up on YouTube? That is exactly what the local PD should be asking themselves, because the answer is, yeah, whatever you're doing with these drones in the next 4 years is going to be posted up on YouTube. And so what is your plan for dealing with that? Because, oh, by the way, I'm guessing you don't have a plan.
Yeah, Officer Harless threatening to pump 10 rounds into him and sleep like a baby wound up on YouTube, didn't it?
There you go.
And that was dash cam footage. You know, that was recording from a police car. I'm assuming, I don't know what the chain of command is, the chain of custody is. I'm assuming that stayed in the police station. But somebody there thought, hey, it'd be a great fucking idea to put this on YouTube.
I think that dash cam was a Freedom of Information Act. I think that was actually went through full legal channels. But in the case of the when the surveillance the grainy shitty surveillance video of George Zimmerman stepping out of the police car at the police station where allegedly said it looked like there was nothing wrong with him and that he was lying all along and he was a murderer. That was a cell phone video taken of a monitor from within the police station, and so that was one of those things that got out illegally.
One of the things that you post stuff all the time. I've been posting for 4 years, and so I've got 5,000 odd posts. The ones that kind of stick out are the ones that SiteMeter says people keep coming back to through Google searches.
Yeah.
There are two of them on my particular blog that stick out in my mind. If you do a search for hack your neighbor's Wi-Fi in 5 minutes, you'll find me. I'm number one or number two on that. The second one is how to hack a classified network. Again, number one or number two on Google for that. I don't know how. I guess Google must be my bitch or something like that. But this should be a lesson to all of the law enforcement organizations that it is you know, it's like the old X-Files thing. The information is out there. And there is so much money to be had in black hat hacking that any law enforcement agency who thinks that they can use drones effectively against the drug cartels is fooling themselves.
But they don't want to use it against...
You know, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but the difference between, you know, the best IT security guys and a black hat is an unemployment check. Because as soon as... Well, unemployment check and you know, being a little bit desperate, because as soon as you've been out of work for about 6 months, all of a sudden it doesn't look as bad.
There's an old joke in my industry that says, you know what the difference is between a hacker and an IT security professional? The IT security professional has a mortgage. And
yeah,
it's a bit black humor, but it's exactly what you said right there. And there is a huge amount of talent. There's a huge amount of talent in Eastern Europe. There's a huge amount of talent in China. There's a huge amount of talent in India as far as how these systems work. I understand IP, I understand wireless, I understand radio, I understand all of these things. And I can either get a job at, you know, $20 an hour, or I can make serious coin. Now, you know, once you get into that world, you maybe can't get out of that world. You know, there's all of that kind of stuff. You know, it is the mafia kind of thing. But this is something that one of the biggest problems that we see in my industry, the guys who are trying to fight the good fight, is that we are outspent 5 or 10 to 1. And at that point, you just need to assume that you are starting from the question of how many of my computers are already owned by the bad guys?
Well, also, you have to be right every time. A hacker's going to be right once.
Well, you can pick stuff up. And nobody's going to be right every time. But yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
Lucky.
It's a lot easier for a well-financed bad guy trying to break in than for a poorly financed defender trying to keep the bad guy out. And now when we start talking about the local police department running a drone, their defenders are incompetent. They may not even have anybody in IT
that can spell
security, or they spell it with a K. I mean, so you are starting from fail, giving these kinds of devices to people that cannot manage them in a way that where at the bare minimum, bad guys can't be watching what this thing is transmitting down. And at the worst case, that they can take this thing over whenever they want to, start thinking about targeted assassinations and say it was a local law enforcement drone that took out the local Senate candidate.
Oops.
Think about the headlines that could possibly – again, the reason that I have this job, they brought me in, is somebody said, what could possibly go wrong? There needs to be a lot more of that in the law enforcement community that wants to go high tech and take it all to the internet and all these network connected devices, because I don't think that anybody's thinking along these lines, and that's a bad, bad thing. Sorry, I'm kind of ranting about
this.
That's
okay.
The caller raises a great, great point.
Yep. Hey, let's talk about Holder.
Woohoo! Yeah. So when do we get to see his ass in jail is my question.
Never.
I mean, I
never
know we've
all did.
Yeah. Never. Oops, we lost Brita.
What's the difference between the civil and the – I mean, I know the difference between civil and criminal, but what is – does the civil one, is he going to be personally liable for something?
Well,
I mean,
the difference is that criminal contempt requires the U.S. attorney of the District of Columbia to prosecute the case, which is
the guy who reports to Eric Holder?
Right, right. Which is
no,
not
– no conflict there.
Yeah. It's just not going to happen. So okay. Civil contempt is basically they sue him in court.
Both of these are exactly like this latest Supreme Court decision. It is a political decision. This isn't a legal issue at all. This is a political issue. And so this whole idea of, just like Jay was saying, this guy who reports up to Holder, who was probably appointed by Holder, the idea that he can actually prosecute this guy, that's a political issue. It's not a legal issue at all. And so your point is a great one. What's the difference between these two things? Ultimately,
nothing.
There is no difference. This is a political issue that will continue to play out. And again, I don't think that this is something that the Democrats can dodge. Their allies in the media have been trying to cover it up. They will continue to try and cover it up. But they're going to be increasingly unsuccessful, especially if this goes into a second Obama administration. This isn't going away. Congressman Issa isn't going to go away. He's not going to let go of this. And this is, I mean, quite frankly, this is the first attorney general in the Republic's history who's been who's been cited for contempt of Congress. Ever.
First sitting cabinet member, actually.
And this is not going to go away. And there's no way to sweep it under the carpet. And again, this is one of the continual drip, drip, drip Chinese water torture on the progressives. Why? And this is, again, why I think it would be a better thing if Obama gets reelected, is let's continue this Chinese water torture so that we see the continual inability to deal with anything, the inability to have an effective foreign policy, the inability to deal with the economy, you know, the corruption over and over again. And let's just let it play out, because this is a political thing. And this is where Jay, you and I diverge on this. It's like, yes, while that goes on, he will be appointing all kinds of people. It's going to be a nightmare for the Republic, et cetera.
I just remembered what I wanted to bring up. I'll throw a shout out to my buddy Rob Allen. This was a comment made at his place, sharp as a marble. The one big advantage of a Mitt Romney presidency, the media will start taking notice of the bullshit.
Yeah, well, that's for sure.
Plain and simple.
Yeah.
You know, with Obama, I mean, everybody's pointed out, everybody on the right who's paying attention has pointed out, this is not a tax. This is not a tax. This is not a tax. Wham! Guess what? It's a tax. Boy, they'd like that to go away, wouldn't they?
I think everybody needs to stop and think for a second that the economy is unlikely to improve much in the next 4 years.
Oh, the private sector's doing fine.
Europe is going to tank sometime in the next 6 months or 12 months or whatever. But the wheels are coming off. When that happens, it's going to hit us. I don't think it's going to take us down, but it's going to hurt us.
Yep, I agree.
And so what we're going to see is the next 3 years is going to be economic turmoil.
So then are you saying that it might be advantageous for our guy not to be in charge?
Yes, and that's exactly what I'm saying. Because you know who the media is, you know whose side they're on. And they're going to be increasingly insane if there's a Republican back in the White House and there's a Republican Senate and a Republican House. The media is going to go nuts.
We got no chance at it.
We might in 2014 if Obama is still in the White House, and then we could pick up the presidency in 2016. This is why I'm saying the long view, yes, it sucks to be us in the short term. And Jay, you and I are absolutely in sync on that.
Absolutely.
There's no way to avoid the hit.
Well,
what I'm saying is take the hit now, do it for the sake of our kids, get past it, and start to correct.
And I'll even agree with you that it would be a good thing, because think about this, all right? When things – and I agree, things are going to hell. They're going to hell fast. We are going to see fires in the cities like in Greece. We're going to see riots like in England. Oh, only we can shoot back, but that's a different story.
They're going to be blue cities, by the way, Jay.
Of course. But
because red
think
cities
about this.
Will shoot back.
Think about this. This is going to make you happy. Think about Chris Matthews on TV doing the Niedermeyer, all is well, because that's what he's going to be. He's going to be Baghdad Bob. There are no American tanks anywhere near Baghdad. The economy's doing perfect. Meanwhile, people are blowing by in cardboard boxes.
But, Jay, this is part of the correction that has to happen, is that people either have to completely get rid of Chris Matthews, or Chris Matthews has to kill himself, right? Because we're not quite there yet.
Note to echelon. I have no interest in this conversation. That is all.
Well, but, you know, the whole thing is that is going for
echelon's out of date, Jay.
Well, and I can't
That's
talk
what makes
about
it
that
cool.
anyway.
Oh, sorry. Oh, shit.
I can neither confirm nor deny anything that you're talking about. Jay, all I can say is the NSA does not tap phones, but you need to call your mom more often.
Yeah.
We got computers. We're tapping phone lines. We know that ain't allowed. Anyway.
In God we trust, all others monitor. But there has to be a realization in this country on basic paycheck level. How much money am I getting? And at that point, Chris Matthews won't have a job anymore because people will say, this has no relevance to my life.
Yeah. You know, gee, you've blamed Bush for the past 6 years. Isn't it? Eventually, at some point, they're going to say, that's nice.
It requires people to think.
Well, think about this. All right, here's the situation. Okay, since Obama has been elected, all of a sudden, the price of gas doesn't matter anymore. The price of oil doesn't matter anymore. The number of people killed in Afghanistan doesn't matter anymore. Number of people killed in Mexico doesn't matter anymore.
Getting back to Holder.
The minute that Romney gets into office, suddenly, the price of gas will matter. The price of oil will matter. The number of people killed in Afghanistan will matter. Gitmo will matter.
Gitmo being open.
All this shit. The number of people killed in Mexico will matter. All of a sudden, all this crap that they've been completely ignoring for 3 years will matter all of a sudden.
And this is exactly why I endorsed Romney. I endorsed Obama over Romney, because Romney is a fixer. He's a political fixer. That's what he does. He tries to fix problems. And the media is going to pigpile on him. And 9 months after he's in the White House, his view of what needs to be fixed is going to be warped by all of that. So I think we just need to let this play out. Let the media continue imploding. Let the Democratic Party keep imploding. Yes, that's going to take a hit. And maybe the Republicans just need to say, I'm going to filibuster any judicial appointment that Obama makes, all of them. But if they won't do that, then why on earth should we give them any kind of political power?
Well, furthermore, if Mitt Romney gets his ass kicked in this election, it'll also be a sign of, you know, maybe we should stop sending big government Republicans up.
No lose election for the Republicans. Yeah. If they lose this, what does that say?
The only problem with that, Weird, is that we've been hearing that since 1992. Maybe the next election will be the one that teaches the Republicans the lesson. Maybe the next election. You know, George H.W. Bush didn't have his heart in it. We need somebody more conservative. Let's give them Bob.
It's not about teaching the Republican Party a lesson. It's about keeping the right sort of people energized politically.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And right now, the right sort of people are the Tea Party. And the Tea Party are the ones that are throwing out the Mike Castles, the Bob Bennetts, the soft, squishy guys, the get-along-to-go-along guys.
Newt Gingrich!
You know what? I have to say, I have a love-hate relationship with Newt. And Newt is totally annoying. And then he just unloads on people who need being unloaded on. And I look at that and I just want to cheer. Because no one does that. No one takes the big stick to the people who need it like Newt does. And
except for Daryl Issa.
Issa's been pretty hardcore lately. I've been impressed with him.
He kicks a lot of ass. Okay, he's all out of bubblegum.
Yeah. Let me just say, Newt would make a better president. Newt, with all his faults, would make a better president than Romney.
Oh, hell yeah.
You've heard me saying this for years, for ages.
I got a question.
The Hugo is far superior to the Trabant.
Jay wins the internet.
How much does the VP choice play into this?
Let me tell you, the Jennings is so much better than a Lawson.
Yeah. All right, the caller's trying to get a word in edgewise.
Go ahead, MDev.
MDev is like a family member.
I was just wondering how much the VP choice plays into this.
Not at all.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I disagree. It depends. I mean, if Romney picks, you know, I don't know, somebody with a chick with big boobs or something, maybe they'll pay attention.
Nah.
Well,
Snucky!
McCain would have gotten smoked even worse if he hadn't picked Palin.
That's right.
Palin energized the party, energized what became the core of the Tea Party, and they turned out.
Yeah.
If he had picked some kind of soft, squishy guy, it would have been even a worse route.
Obama would have run by more than 10 points.
Exactly. And so if Romney picks somebody like Rand Paul, which he won't in a million years, but if he did, that would energize a lot of the base.
I think it's going to be Rubio, and I think that would be a very, very smart choice because he's Hispanic, and he's got that whole, you know, young Republican charm to it, and he's actual conservative, and he's from the dick-shaped state, which is a lot of swing votes.
You know, the problem, though...
I
don't buy into that whole kind of identity politics thing. Oh, here's the Hispanic...
Wait, did you happen to witness the last election?
Ouch.
I'm sorry.
Young inner-city blacks actually got up and voted. So that
we're not talking about young inner-city blacks. We're talking about Republicans.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, good point.
Now, if you can get young inner-city blacks or even young inner-city Hispanics to get up and vote Republican, I'd be really interested to sit and listen, but I don't think Rubio's going to do it. I mean,
George,
I don't know much about
hello?
The problem – okay, here's the thing. Problem is that the GOP can't run with a VP from a blue state. They just can't. And I'm sorry, Florida's still a blue state.
Wyoming.
The
pick Dick Cheney.
Romney's
Dick Cheney. I think that it is important to have a 23rd level Sith Dark as your front mate.
Actually,
just so that he can do the force choke on God.
Actually,
like the super congressional whip.
The VP's choices seem to be made lately about on the basis of, you know, more like insurance against assassinations.
Well, then he'll pick Ron Paul.
Actually, there's actually a valid statement on that. Ron Paul's up to something because he's holding on to all his electoral votes.
Yes, he is.
He's not going to release those until he gets his beak wet. Now the big question is what's it going to be? Is it going to be Rand Paul? I mean, my big statement is that Ron Paul's latest presidential bid has really just been a way of just getting Rand Paul out onto the Republican scene. And on top of that, he's been going so hard against the TSA, and that's something that you know, across the boundaries. I mean, everybody flies a little bit. I mean, unless you are absolutely below the poverty line, airline flights are cheap enough that everyone goes somewhere. And everyone.
Can I just say something about Ron Paul?
Okay.
There's good, you know, whether you like him, whether you hate him, the one thing that you cannot say about Ron Paul is that he has the soul of a vice president.
That is true.
Yeah, but it's in a jar on his desk.
Well, so whose soul
the other
is
reason
it?
We can't have Ron Paul as VP is he would be the first assassination by somebody of his own party. You know, none of our guys would take a shot.
That is the comment of all comments.
But it's okay because they'd be using a bowcaster and it'd miss.
I'm starting to think for some reason about that Texas dad who beat the child molester to death.
Yep.
And got off on the he needed killing argument.
Yep.
Yep.
There you go. Right. It's like
there's your Veep. I want to see him debate Joe Biden.
Yeah. Joe Biden was beaten to death in a debate today.
And at this point I won't bring up Echelon again.
Hey,
so then here's the other question. Does Obama stick with Biden for VP this time around?
He has to. Just like George H.W. Bush had to stick with Quayle.
Yeah,
Obama's got to stick with Biden. If he changes vice presidents now, he's saying, yeah, I fucked up in 2008. And for the past 4 years, I've had this drooling fucking moron plugs tripping over his own tongue.
Okay,
and it's time to jettison him like a piece of bad luggage.
Obama picked Biden for vice president just to show he didn't need one.
Now, Obama could come out and say that he was behind Biden 1,000%.
Yeah, as he pushes him under the bus.
So he could say Biden resigned for, you know, decided not to run for family reasons like everybody else
does.
Or, committed arcanside.
And Eagleton, who said that.
You committed what? Arkanside? What?
Arkanside.
I'm an old guy.
Those mysterious deaths that happened to anyone who spoke up against the Clintons.
Ooh.
Joe Biden, he had a tricky heart and he had brain cancer and suddenly
he had a brain.
His brain tumor grew into a bullet.
Wow. No, but that's actually rather interesting. If you could, you know, maybe I don't know, maybe get Biden to chase after a stick or something. Yeah, boy.
But yeah, I mean that would be the same idea as Hillary Clinton leaving. She'd leave after the midterm elections, just stating that, you know, stating for a change of course, and Obama would play it up like it was his idea all along. But really, she stepped down so that she could start angling against him in the primary.
Alan, could we get Breida back?
No,
she's the one who would keep us all kind of more civilized.
That ain't gonna happen.
Well, we haven't talked about Holder yet.
That's right. It's vicious squirrel.
It is. We kind of talked about Holder. I think
a little bit.
Here's the thing. The Holder thing, like Morpeth said, it's purely political. There's no, you know, and without the media clamoring for heads in this thing. You know, I mean, people are saying, oh, yes, it's like Watergate. Well, no, it's not like Watergate because in the first place.
There's a body count.
I'm talking about politically. In the first place, in Watergate, the media wanted Nixon's head on a platter.
Right, right.
That is not the case this time.
Yeah, good point.
The only people clamoring for this, any of this information is, you know, frankly, not even the Republicans. I think the Republicans would be happy for it to just go away, too. They're using it for a campaign issue, but I don't think they're really interested in it either.
I have to give props to the NRA, who surprised me yesterday, saying that they were going to score this vote.
Yeah, exactly.
They've actually been behind this for a while. as in having this on file and following it. They have not just jumped on in the last week.
And maybe just my expectations of the NRA are low, in which case I'm getting pleasantly surprised on the upside. But this is the kind of thing that I think that there are a fair number of people that, back to this whole, a lot of people make up their minds a couple weeks before they vote. There are a lot of gun owners that don't pay much attention, but every now and then they read something from the NRA. You know, on all these flyers that show up that I find annoying, sometimes that'll stick.
Well, I mean, the flyers are annoying to us because we're political junkies, so we're following.
Right,
it.
Right.
There's a lot of people that don't, you know, that don't read shit unless it gets dropped in their lap, and so they're the ones that need to read it in the American Rifleman or need to read it in the latest mailing.
Well, you know, you're 100% right, because I was shooting trap this past Tuesday, and one of the old timers at the club comes up to me and he goes, "You're kind of a political guy. Have you heard about this Fast and Furious crap that's been going on?" And I've been like, "Yeah, I've been following it for a year or whatever it's been, you know." But, I mean, the first time he saw it is when it came across in his America's First Freedom magazine. You know what I mean? And to him, it was new news, you know.
Well, to a lot of people, that is the one thing, is that it's been covered over. Last weekend when I was up in Maine, I was out walking with my mom, and I just said, just for the sheer sake, my mom's not a political junkie. She doesn't follow Jersey Shore, but overall, she's just not terribly concerned with it. She watches the news, but it's not her thing. And I said to her, "Mom, do you know anything about Fast and Furious?" And she said, "No." Now, and then meanwhile, at the convention that same weekend, I had a bunch of people come up to me who were not political junkies, who were not even party affiliated type people. They may lean one way or the other, but they, you know, they're exactly the everyday type person. And they were saying, "Tell me more about this Fast and Furious. It's the genie's starting to come out of the bottle."
I agree. Eventually something leaks out. There's only so long you can keep certain things.
Well, I mean, the fact that this holder contempt vote is, I mean, they can't not sweep it under a rug, something that's this big. You know, including the far lefties are actually, you know, slitting their own throat, because they have to talk about it, saying, you know, how mean and nasty and racist the Republicans are for holding this vote. And meanwhile, the key thing that it's doing is getting to people asked, saying, "Why are we voting for this?"
Exactly. And that actually, one of the useful things about this that I expect Issa was not focusing on when he was doing it, but this is a useful collateral damage coming out of what he is doing, is that the media has almost completely ignored this. And so now you have situations where the New York Times has to explain to its readers why this guy has been convicted of contempt of Congress when they've never even heard about it, reading all the news that's fit to print. And it will simply accelerate the media's death cycle, which is nothing but good for...
Say Republicans did this in an election.
They will say that. You're absolutely right. But there's only so many times that excuse, you know, Obama will blame Bush for stuff that went bad with the economy.
There's only so many times that plays. What they can't say is that it's not a total lie. That's the big issue, is they can't say that this was entirely made up out of whole cloth. In fact, there are documents that Holder is not releasing. And all of that, and it has to do with this situation, and there are actually dead bodies, and it's they can't,
yeah,
they
but
can't,
there's only they, like two that matter.
Yeah, they're all dead Mexicans. Nobody
cares
about
the
that.
Liberals don't care about them.
Well,
they're brown people in other countries.
They're brown racist. Don't they care about brown people?
They're brown people that can't vote in the election.
That's right.
Who are you kidding?
Sure they can. Are you kidding? Of course they can.
No, because the ones shot by the cartels hadn't snuck across the border.
Oh, come on. Let's talk about all the dead people in Chicago that are voting.
That is true. Old third power's dead grandparents.
Now, I hate to wrench this discussion off of Holder, but he's going to be going down. It's hard to see any way that he's going to survive one way or the other on this. But just, I'm not in the chat, which is sad this time because I love the chat here. But looking at Instapundit, there is one after another entry about Tea Party protests about this Supreme Court decision that are going to be happening all over the place, all over the country over the next week or so.
Oh, really?
So, you know, the one that's top right now at Instapundit is Denver, but there have been others all the way down if you just go there and scroll down. And so back to this whole thing about this is energizing the Tea Party and the non-establishment Republicans in a way that you're just not going to ever see on the part of the Democrats, that all of these people that are going to show up and protest, how many of them are going to donate? What's the money going to turn into? This just looks like it's a complete disaster unfolding for the Democrats. They've gotten everything that they ever hoped for, and it's going to take them down.
Be careful what you ask for. You might just get it.
We're
going to see some great ads, whether they be from, you know, 529 or PAC or even the Romney campaign.
Yeah.
Simply going to have an audio recording saying it's a tax and then clips of Obama saying it's not a tax.
You know, the only problem with the Democrats going down is it'll leave the GOP in charge, which...
Yeah, exactly. The big problem with the Democrats losing is it means the Republicans win.
Yeah.
And it also means that we're a two-party system, which means someone's going to have to come in their place.
A Republican than a well-meaning Democrat.
The question is, could this country support a Dread Pirate Roberts party?
Everybody move!
It's like, well done, Wesley. Good job today. You know, I like what you're doing. I'll probably kill you tomorrow.
Remind me to kill you in the morning.
Yeah, okay, right. We're almost out of time, but I kind of don't want to leave the show without mentioning two things. One is that I laughed my ass off because of the news that the Army's uniform that they adopted because they wanted to look as cool as the Marines turned out to be a complete flop.
You got more people killed one.
Yeah, you can't look as cool as Marines. That's just not possible.
Let me just
get my stickers on your car.
Let me just give you a personal view on that from Camp Borpatch here inside the secure perimeter. Number two son is in junior ROTC at his local high school. So he's going to be a junior this coming year.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I actually posted a picture of him in his class ones, class A. It's like, you know, looks good. It's Army ROTC.
Uh-oh.
His sergeant is a former Army sergeant.
Oops.
That's doing that. And when the Marine recruiter came around, number two son gave him his name and address. The Army can do whatever it wants with its uniforms and all of that kind of stuff.
Yep.
It's like they're not selling the product.
Cool. Cool isn't what you wear. It's what you are. And Marines are cool, and the Army is the Army. You know, what are you going to do?
You keep telling yourself that, Alan.
I know. The other thing is this really cool. I put it in the chat. The Army. There's an article in it's actually on CBS DC. Anyway, the U.S. Army personnel at Picatinny Arsenal. Is it, how do you pick it? Oh, that's like the rail, Picatinny. Okay.
Yeah. That's where the rails came from.
No.
Developing a military weapon that is able to shoot lightning bolts down laser beams.
Ha, take that, Zeus.
Lightning bolt. Sleep. They are revolutionizing LARPing.
Why is Crimson Trace getting this technology?
Yeah. The laser-induced plasma channel. How fucking awesome is that?
It's pretty fucking awesome. The picture's pretty good.
It makes me giggle.
Should the Ford Taurus in that picture?
It looks like a Ford Taurus, yeah.
Well,
yeah, it is.
You know what that makes me think, Alan? I actually posted about this several months ago, about this guy in Finland in the when Russia invaded Finland in 1940 or whenever that was. And this guy was a sniper, and he shot like 900 Russians.
Yeah, that guy.
That guy.
Right?
The White Death.
He was such a badass that he had an artillery barrage called down on him personally.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, the lightning is cool, but until you get an artillery barrage called down on you personally, you still don't qualify as badass, even with lightnings from your fingertips.
I don't know.
Yep. And he ended up getting half his face blown off in that, and he still lived to be like 96.
I just posted something, a week ago or so, about this guy won the Victoria Cross twice.
I saw that, yeah.
It's like, that guy, I think, is the most badass guy who ever lived in the history of the world.
Yeah.
Where he won a Victoria Cross, and then he went back to battle and won another Victoria Cross while he was, like, blowing up tanks with hand grenades and got captured by the Germans and tried to break out of prison so many times that they put him in solitary, and then he broke out again. And the German didn't shoot him with the machine gun because he said, I respect this guy too much. That guy is badass.
Yep. And we're out of time.
We're way out of time.
We're like nice night, 7 minutes over. Night, MDev. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks all.
Thanks for being on with us, Boar Patch.
Thanks for playing. Thanks for being wrong with us.
Yeah.
I mean, on with us.
I'm sorry the Brita dropped off. I don't know what happened, but
her Skype spazzed and she got fed up with it.
Yeah.
She was sick of listening to my crappy audio.
Now, I forgot to say the best line that I had to say, which was, you guys invited me on, and all I can invoke is the Zaphod Beeblebrox clause, where, hey, I'm just this guy.
Blink, blink, the hell are you talking about?
Well, you know, that's all we are, so.
Yeah,
the two-headed president of the universe.
We're just idiots. We're just idiots with a stupid podcast.
Not me. I'm famous on the internet.
Yeah,
there. I wasn't the chat. How many people dialed in today?
I think we peaked out at 12 or so in chat. We had about 25 people listening to us live.
Okay, I don't know. You know, I just tossed this post up, and like I've gotten this shitload of traffic on it. And it's like, well, crap. All right, so I'll do these well thought out things that I spend an hour on the post, and like everyone says, whatever.
Yep.
That's how it works. And I'll toss this thing up, and like get links from wherever. Yep. All right.
That's the internet for you.
I'm digging.
All right. Y'all have a good weekend and all.
Hey,
and
thanks for inviting me.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for coming on,
Jay. Thanks, Weird. And thanks, Brita.
It was fun, even though you were wrong.
That's all right. You can be wrong anytime, Boar Patch.
Hey, I'm wrong in the short term. You're wrong in the long term. How's that? That's my final offer.
We can both be wrong.
All right. Bye, y'all.
Okay.
See you guys.
All right, night.
Woohoo!